We are in Philippians chapter 4, so turn over there in your Bible if you have it, and let's pray. Lord God, we are so thankful for your word. It's the truth, it's the encouragement, it's what we have need of. Sometimes, Lord, it's difficult. Sometimes we battle against it with our flesh, but we know that in it is life. And so we receive from you the life that you have for us this day. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, even a couple of weeks ago, as I was looking ahead to this message that we're going to have today, I looked and I saw that the first word is rejoice. And I'm like, really? The year that we just had? The things going on? It's like 2 years ago. Yeah, easy. No problem. We could do this. But I'm thinking about people here and I'm like, how am I supposed to teach rejoice to people like, well, with Susan? She's got her MS that she's had for a long time, but now with the herniated disc, and for most of the time she's just, you know, walking from the bed to the chair, to the couch, to the bed and stuff. Now, prednisone has helped a little bit with that, but I mean, does she feel like rejoicing? And we look at people like Steph and say, does she feel like rejoicing? People like Larry and all the things that she's going through and all, does she feel like rejoicing? And Randy and Lisa, I mean, Lisa just dealing with medical things and going off to Mayo Clinic and them trying to help out with stuff, and it's like, and Randy, emergency surgery, dude, save your life. Things going on here, problems with that. And then of course their dog has cancer now, and that makes life even more difficult and all. Do they feel like rejoicing? What about Floyd? Does he feel like rejoicing? See, I don't know that they feel like rejoicing, but they do. What great examples of this verse, rejoice, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, always. Rejoice always. And we look and we see people doing this, and we go, what's the matter with you? What's right with you? See, when he says rejoice in the Lord always, it isn't like a command, do this. It's more of a releasing of what's already inside of us because of Christ. Rejoice in the Lord because my trust is in the Lord. And when it is, then we are able to do as Paul says here. It's for all of us. And all of us have something going on, don't we? All of us have something that we go, hey, this says you shouldn't rejoice. This says you should pout and whine like a little kid. But within us comes the desire to rejoice because of who he is. And it's not that there's no sorrow, but there's rejoicing in it. It's not that there's no pain, but there's rejoicing through it. And it's not that there's no grief, but there's rejoicing in spite of it. And so we do rejoice in the Lord always. And we have examples of that throughout Scripture. Do you think David had any problems? Psalm 31, verse 7, he says, I will rejoice and be glad in your steadfast love, because you have seen my affliction. You have known the distress of my soul. So he had affliction and distress, and he still rejoiced. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 10 says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. And Paul in Romans, starting verse 3 of chapter 5, says, not only that, but we rejoice in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were yet still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul also says, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. always rejoicing. And so we look and we see the reason for the ability and the desire to rejoice is the same thing that we've been seeing throughout the book. It goes to the same reason the two helpers that we saw in the first three verses of chapter 3, the two ladies that weren't getting along, these servants can put away the disputes between them because of what Christ has done. Because the relationship with Jesus that we have is so much more precious than even life itself. Paul said that, didn't he? He said that death is better than life. He said that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so with that, we can rejoice, can't we, Shelley? Just like she testified about this morning. We know that life is pain. Anyone that tells you differently is trying to sell you something. And Paul, man, he's no hypocrite here, telling other people to rejoice, even in their pain, and even in their suffering, and even their sorrow. He was well acquainted with it, wasn't he? He suffered a lot, and yet he knew about the goodness of God. So he says, he who began a good work among you will complete it by the day of Christ Jesus. Paul knew that suffering was one of the ways that Christ works in us. Suffering from the things of the world causes us to become purer and more desirous of the things of heaven. Looking forward to that. Because, see, we lean on Jesus now, but we look forward to Jesus then, don't we? And so, he also said that it had been granted to us for Christ's sake, not only to believe in him, but to suffer on his behalf. That's our privilege. Yeah. Doesn't sometimes feel like a privilege when you're in that trial. But afterwards, when he's brought us through it, when he's proven himself to be strong, when he's made that change inside of us, well then, yeah, we can say that was a privilege being able to be a part of that. Because suffering conforms us to the image of Christ by eliminating the desires for this world and setting our minds more on the next world. On our eternal kingdom that we get to share with Jesus. And so what else do we see that causes us to rejoice regardless of circumstances? It's not just that he began a good work in us, but also other things that we have already read in this book, which is, you may be sincere and blameless for the day of Christ. Wow, that's worth rejoicing over, isn't it? How about having been filled with the fruit of righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God? How about Christ will even now as always be exalted in my body? What about other things we saw, like encouragement in Christ, the consolation of love, the fellowship of the Spirit, that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father? How about it's God who is at work within you both to desire and to work for his good pleasure? How about Jesus Christ will transform the body of our lowly condition into conformity with his glorious body by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself? So when he says now in chapter 4, rejoice always, it's because of the things that we've already seen throughout the rest of the book. All these glorious things that happen because of Christ in us. And so these things, our salvation and our deliverance, cause us to rejoice regardless of what comes at us. For Paul, again, we know that he suffered a lot. And he's the one who said, I will rejoice, yes, and I will rejoice. Now, sometimes it's difficult. And Landon gave us that illustration from Bob Newhart and his psychiatrist little bit that he had there, right? Stop it. Because that's really helpful when you just tell people, stop it. Well, other people tell other people who are suffering, it's okay, just get over it. And it is equally useless, isn't it, to come and to say that? But what if we say, rejoice. Let the rejoicing of the Lord come through you. The Scripture and the Spirit will bring life to us. And not in a condemning way. We don't come to people and say, rejoice. We say, look, in this, we know that the Spirit of God is working in us. And Is it okay for us to have these times of suffering? Is it okay for us to have this time of sorrow? Is it okay for us to have this time of mourning? And the answer for all those is yes, of course it is. Scripture tells us that you have turned my mourning into dancing. Okay? It's good mourning. There are times, there are periods, there are seasons in life where this is the reality. And it's okay. But understand and look forward and understand that God is going to bring us through this. And so even in this, I can rejoice. I rejoice, Lord God, that even in the circumstances that I'm in, that I know that you're with me, that you'll bring me through. So yes, we can rejoice in that. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. Have you heard that scripture? It's absolutely true. Have you ever wondered why for the Jewish people it's the day starts at night? Are they just backwards over that hemisphere? Is it something different over there? See, it says that there was evening and morning the first day. And for the Jewish person, the day begins at sunset. All right, so why is it? And I've been thinking about that for years, and my opinion is it's like life. We start in the darkness, in the night, and eternal life is the real day. And so we look forward to the day. We look forward to the eternal because it is going to be far greater than we have now. So this section in Philippians chapter 4 contains five of the most quoted, five of the least understood passages in the Bible. That happens sometimes when we go, oh, that's a great verse. I'm going to quote that verse. Yeah, doesn't always work that way. Anyway, verse 5 says, let your gentle spirit be known to all people. The Lord is near. All right, that's not one of the five. All right, but it's still important for us. The fact that the Lord is near, the return of the Lord is near, is obvious because of the wickedness in the world around us, isn't it? We look and we see, well, that's what Scripture said. We are told that these things are going to happen before Jesus returns. So we look and we go, the return is going to be very close. It makes sometimes our flesh angry, doesn't it? Don't we sometimes want to lash out against some people and against things? But that's not the way it really works. We must make the most of the time because the days are evil. And what did Jesus do? I mean, he was our example, right? He showed us how to minister. He showed us how to reach the world. And Jesus did that by loving people and gently drawing them to himself. And I know it's difficult sometimes because we think that our righteous indignation is warranted and that we have the right to lash out. But the fruit of gentleness speaks louder than your outcries. As we show the love and the grace and the peace of Christ, it is far greater than what we would do on our own. See, Jesus, it tells us in John chapter 3 that Jesus didn't come to the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. That's what they need. They don't need to be condemned. They need to know about the love of Christ. They need to know about the verse before that, which says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so we don't come to condemn people either. We show them the love of God and the forgiveness that he offers through his sacrifice on the cross. Well, here's one that you may have heard of. Verse 6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and pleading with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Don't we need the peace of God to guard our hearts? Paul knew humanity. He knows that we are prone to kick Jesus off the throne in our life and make it about ourselves, that we'll take care of these things ourselves. And so, yeah, instead of gentleness, we want to assert our control over people. Instead of calm assurance of Christ's lordship in our life and him taking care of us and him leading us, we want to fret and fear instead. And the wording here that he gives us is not that being anxious never happens, never comes to a believer, but that we're not to allow it to build its home here. You will experience anxious thoughts. In fact, there are some people who go, oh man, I had an anxious thought and stuff. I'm such a horrible Christian. Not at all. If anxious thoughts do not occur to you, I don't think you're paying attention, because it's just a normal thing. The idea is to weigh the things that bring the anxious thoughts against the understanding of the greatness of God, and then dismissing the anxiety knowing about God's greatness. So weigh them and understand that we are not needing to be anxious about anything, and then the peace of God comes. And in fact, if we weigh who Christ is against what Christ is doing for us, against the anxiety, we know that peace will win every time and that rejoicing will win every time. Our minds need to be disciplined in order to consider God in every equation. When this thing comes against me, whatever comes against me, we need to consider who God is and allow Him to bring about that peace. The key to peace, the key to rejoicing, is the mindset, or the heart set, which really ought to be a word. Not yet, but it could become a word. Our heart set, that we have this understanding and set our heart towards the things of God. And so then look at verse 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, think about these things. As for the things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. And so again, that mindset, that heart set, these are the kinds of things that you need to ponder on, that you need to have in your mind, so that when other things come against you, you'll go, oh wait, I already have the peace of God because of thinking about these things. And it is important for us to make sure that we fill our minds with good things instead of bad things. If we put garbage in, garbage comes out, right? And it certainly applies to things like pornography, which is visual or written, gratuitous violence or swearing, or other things that are crafted by the world in order to distract and to rob you of the peace and gentleness of God. See, all of this is connected. The whole passages of Scripture is connected. It's not just a bunch of random thoughts that come along and stand alone. So then we look next, and you know, that Scripture, that's very familiar, and people have spent weeks and weeks and weeks teaching that one section, going over each and every word that is in there and stuff. But I think for us, we want to look at this context of all of it being about having the peace, about being able to rejoice, about all the things that Christ is to us. And so let's continue in verse 10, understanding that Paul had been in prison and the Philippians had been concerned about that and concerned that they had not supported him enough. So verse 10, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked an opportunity to act. Not that I speak from need, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with little. I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. Now, I stated at the beginning of the book that the Philippians were concerned about Paul. They were one of the main people that were supporting him and all. And there came a time when they were no longer able to support him financially. They had done it with finances. They had done it with manpower, like with Epaphroditus and stuff. And so there is now a time when they weren't able to do it, and now they're able to continue with that. And Paul continues the thought about being content. He was content earlier, he talked about. He didn't need a lot of stuff to be happy. There are people in the world now that go around, if I only have this, then I'll be happy. If I have this, then I will be happy. If I accomplish this, then I'll be happy. But he didn't need all of that to be happy. There were times when he had Joel Osteen prosperity, and other times when he had St. Francis of Assisi poverty. Okay, and neither one of them is normal for the Christian. Neither one of them is guaranteed. God may call you to be rich, but if he does, that's a burden upon you. I want you to understand that if he calls you to be rich and gives you lots of money and stuff, you're going to be accountable for what you did with that money. Don't know that I want that burden. He may call you to live in poverty as well. Missionary somewhere, doing something like that. I don't know. There are different things that he gives to people, but one thing I do understand is that he commands us to give to and take care of the poor and to take care of people. And when I think about that, sometimes I consider that maybe I am too rich right now. But that's for another time. Now, here's one of the most quoted and most beloved scriptures in all of the Bible, but certainly in Philippians. And you can quote it with me, can't you? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Right? You ever heard of this? Let's see what Inigo Montoya says about it. You keep using that Bible verse. I do not think it means what you think it means. Now, I got a phone call and an email the other day from an organization that wants us to sponsor the church on, advertise it on t-shirts that the high school athletes and some of the parents and some of the other people will be wearing. You can have it on the back. You can have big ones. You can have smaller ones. You can get the sleeve. It's 4x4.5. He says you just can advertise your church, and you can put a scripture on it. And a lot of people can end up putting this scripture on t-shirts like that for athletic things, because I can do all things through Christ. All right? Have you ever seen a t-shirt like this one? Simply says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. That's what I thought it said, but it looked like a 15. But anyway, it's pretty cool graphics, isn't it? It's generic for who's wearing it. It's pretty cool. But then there are these as well. It says the same thing. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But it's got a basketball on it. I can play basketball because Christ strengthens me. The next one. I can play volleyball because of Christ who strengthens me. And the next one, I can lift weights because of Christ who strengthens me. I wonder if dumbbell has two meanings here. Here's one that I found interesting. I'm a June girl. I can do all things through Christ. So because I'm a June girl, I'm thinking maybe it's the steroids, because it looks kind of like a guy wearing this I'm a June girl t-shirt. I don't know. I'm just not even going there. Here's one. Because I'm a firefighter, Christ strengthens me. Right? And the one I really like, I can do all things. I can play all these sports. Now, anybody notice anything missing with that? Christ? Christ? Yeah. We kind of miss the point if we leave Christ out of the equation, don't we? Anyway, the thing is, what is it that Christ is really strengthening me to do? See, it means, and it only means, this context that we've been looking at. Now, you look through the book of Proverbs, and it just has a bunch of Proverbs thrown onto a page, right? And then put into some kind of order. It might be having Solomon's understanding and his wisdom about marrying a wife, which you would think he would have some wisdom after having all those wives. I don't know. But the very next proverb might be talking about buying a donkey, and they are not connected. Okay? So you just have a bunch of the different proverbs, but Paul is continuing with the same thought that he began with chapter 1, verse 1. And in chapter 1 of verse 1 of chapter 4 here, talking about those ladies trying to get along with the problem. So say it with me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So think about these ladies having difficulty getting along, And yet Paul says, say it with me, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And thank you for not looking around at the people that you're having troubles with that. But then we look at it, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Say it again. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He says, be gentle of spirit. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We just read, think on whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable. If there's anything excellent and of worthy, and of anything worthy, anything worthy of praise. Okay? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can be content in any circumstance, whether in plenty or in poor, hunger or filled, abundance or need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See, because that's what it's talking about. And we can take it back to the beginning of this message here and think about Susan and Stephanie and Larie, Randy and Lisa, for Floyd, for us. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, because it's talking about that. We can extrapolate that anything God has called me to do, that he has commanded me to do, he has given me the grace and the strength to be able to do it. All right? We can't extrapolate that God wants my team to win the Super Bowl because I quote this verse. It doesn't mean that I can magically play volleyball better than those heathens that Christ doesn't strengthen, because we can't do that. It doesn't mean, and I'm sorry to burst your bubble with that, it doesn't mean that you can bench press 300 pounds, but maybe it's better for me to tell you now than have you out there with it on your neck, strangling you while you're doing it. Now that said, if Ralph wants to bench press 300 pounds, I'll just stand back and let him do it. But for the rest of us, I don't think, right? Yeah, the rest of us would die. Now, one more verse that you've probably heard of. We'll get to it here, but starting in verse 15. You yourselves also know, Philippians, that the first preaching of the gospel after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my needs. Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek the profit which increases to your account. But I have received everything in full and have an abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Now to God, our God and Father, be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Wow. The one that we recognize, my God will supply all your needs. When I heard that Dave was leading worship today, I'm going, I wonder if he's going to play that. Didn't work out that way. Maybe next time. Whatever. But my God will supply all your needs. Now keep in mind, however, that one of Paul's deeds was to be hungry, because he was hungry. Didn't God supply all his needs? Well, he didn't die, but he was hungry. One of Paul's needs was to suffer. And so these are sometimes our needs as well. Paul needed to be hungry because he needed these Philippians and other people to join with him in the ministry, to give and to take care of these different needs, because these other people needed to be blessed. Paul doesn't say, give me, give me, give me for me. You just read it. He says, give me for you. Give to the Lord for you. Because as you give to ministry, it gives you the opportunity to be a part of that ministry. By supplying the needs that Paul had, and it says more than once when he was in Thessalonica, that they were constantly doing that, that every person that heard the gospel because of Paul being able to be there and being able to minister are accredited to these Philippians as well. And not just them, but also anyone that got saved there and then led anyone else to Christ throughout all of history are given to account of the Philippians. That's what Paul is saying here. He's not saying, give me because I need something in my pocket. He's saying, you need something in your eternity. You need something for your crown. You need something for your eternal reward. And that's, I mean, we give the opportunity to give the box in the back there. We don't take an offering because we don't want people to think, hey, they just want my money. I want you to be blessed. I want you to be a part of whatever ministry that God is leading you to be a part of. And so these people get credit for all of that. Anyway, there are people who are out there that say, if you need $1,000, give me $100, and God will give you 10 times as much. Okay, frauds, all right? Susan and I were talking about different scams and stuff because I got a text. And my text said, hey, Red Bull will give you $500 to wrap your car and stickers and stuff like that. And, you know, anybody that comes along and says something like that and gives you something that's worth more than it, yeah, it's just, it's a fraud, right? Susan looked it up and said, well, what they do is they say, well, we're going to give you this money here, kind of a kickback thing, but first you have to give us a check. And somebody lost thousands of dollars, and I hope you're smarter than that, both in that and spiritually as well. I don't think it's ever a good idea for us to demand stuff from God. We can tell God, hey, I'm reminding you of your promise here. We can do that. But when we, I think that we're probably better off not doing that. Now, we give out of love. We give because it shows that we know God is the one that provides for us. When I give, I'm saying, Lord, I know this came from you, and I know that you'll supply everything that I have need of. And I'm not talking about the old times. I don't know if they still do it, but people used to, back in the day, they used to march around their churches singing Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me. And then they'd start singing this, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. While they're singing that marching around, they've got their credit cards out. Yeah. My God will supply all my needs. He will take care of my credit card debt. Well, part of your need might be learning how to be financially responsible more than him paying it off. And anyway, so that's what we see with that. That's what him supplying all our needs are. Physically? Absolutely. Spiritually? Yes. Because, for instance, Jehovah Jireh, which means God is my provider. Do you know how many times it says that in Scripture? 1 time. And do you know when it was? It was when Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac. And when Isaac said, Dad, we got the wood, we got the oil, we got the flame. I don't see the sacrifice, Dad. Abraham said, my God will supply himself an offering. Himself. And he did. He offered himself his son, Jesus Christ. And you know where that happened? That Abraham was going to offer Isaac? Mount Moriah. Do you know what they called Mount Moriah in the New Testament? Calvary. Golgotha. The place where Jesus was sacrificed. So he did provide himself an offering. Well, let me leave you with a couple things today. Rejoicing comes from a mindset, from a heart set. So if you start your mind, you start your heart, that'll start the rejoicing. But I want you to see this little meme thing here also. You got a guy, I don't know, is that a dog or a duck, what the thing is. They're out in the rain, and the guy says, I'm sad. And the animal, looks like a cat now, says, try adding for now. And so he says, I'm sad for now. Have the mindset and have the heart set that it is temporary. God is leading you in, through, and will take care of you in whatever causes you to be sad. All right? Number two, you can do this. which is the title this morning. You can do this through Christ who strengthens you. And you can, whatever it is that you're going through, you can go, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So lean on that strength. Receive that strength. Trust in that strength. I try to leave you with a couple things like this to think about during the week, but what I wanted to do, especially since Dave brought up some older songs and stuff that we used to do, I want to sing a song that we used to sing back in the day, Rejoice in the Lord Always, and again I say rejoice. Shelley, I forgot to ask you, but would you help me with that? You know that song, right? Yeah, just come up to a microphone here, because you have to do it in a round to do it properly, right? You remember the round? Well, I'll let you do the first part after. We'll go through it once, and then you do it, and then I'll...
I'm sure it'll come to me.
Yeah. All right. So ladies follow Shelley, and guys follow me. We'll do it together once, right?
Yeah.
Should have let you give me a note. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Go, Shelley.
Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice.
Nice. Rejoice in the Lord rejoice, always, and again I say rejoice.
Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice.
Rejoice, rejoice. And again I say rejoice.
Rejoice, rejoice in the Lord rejoice, always. And again I say rejoice.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Father God, we thank you for your word, because, again, in it is life. And we need life. We need you to help us through this life, Lord God. It is a difficult place, and we know that you know that, because Jesus lived on this earth in order to feel what we feel. And I pray, Lord God, that we would, even in times of difficulty, rejoice in you, knowing our eternity, but also knowing that you're with us. We give you thanks now in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you guys. Oh, don't forget the burgers. See, when I was a youth pastor trying to make money for the teenagers and stuff, the grill was right out those windows there, so good. But join us.